Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday the 14th of September, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Sheila Fisher and Brent Fisher about this Saturday's day of play. We'll get the details on the film The Road Not Taken off for tonight at 360 North with filmmaker Steve Phillips. We'll talk movies with Clint Farr and Pat Race. Also, Cheryl Levitt will be here to talk about this weekend's Festival of Seafood at the Juneau Yacht Club. With the forecast for tonight, looks like scattered showers and mostly cloudy skies with the low temperatures around 46 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and high temperatures around 54 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. One of the country's largest tribes says it will not allow the federal government to dictate how it operates. As KGOU's Kurt Gorney reports, the Cherokee Nation is at odds with the Bureau of Indian Affairs over a decision to deny citizenship to former tribal members.
The federal government is warning the Cherokee Nation that its removal of nearly 2,800 descendants of former slaves once owned by tribal members from its citizenship roll violates an 1866 treaty and is unconstitutional. The tribe's Supreme Court ruled last month that a constitutional amendment approved by Cherokee voters in 2007 was legal, denying access to benefits for the descendants of the freedmen, ranging from medical and housing assistance to the right to vote in this month's election for principal chief. Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs Assistant Secretary Larry Echohawk sent a letter to the tribe this week saying the results of its September 24th election would not be recognized by the U.S. government if the ousted citizens are not allowed to vote. The Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development is also withholding about $33 million in funding from the tribe over the freedmen issue. The acting principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Joe Crittenden, released a statement Tuesday saying his tribe will not be governed by the BIA. He also said the tribe will hold its election and continue its legacy of responsible self-governance. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Norman, Oklahoma.
The U.S. Attorney's Office for Wyoming held its annual conference last week in Riverton with the theme Empowering Native American Women. Wyoming Public Radio's Tristan Autone reports.
U.S. Attorney for Wyoming Kip Cross says the conference responds to publicity about inadequate investigation and prosecution of sexual assault and domestic violence cases on reservations. He's referring to a report by the Government Office of Accountability compiled between 2005 and 2009 where 67% of sexual abuse offenses committed in Indian country were declined by federal prosecutors. Croft says public attention to these types of statistics prompted his office to reach out to the Wind River Reservation to hear about unmet needs, give information on the prevention of sexual assault, and how prosecution would happen were a crime to be reported.
So I'm hopeful the information we gave might prevent some of these crimes in the future, but to the extent that they are not prevented, we also hope the reporting is better and prompter because of DNA evidence and things like that. Obviously, a prompt report is very important, too. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see whether we get a significant increase in reported crimes or not. It's too early to tell.
Cross adds that his office could not break down their declination statistics into what was kicked back to tribal court and what was actually declined, and no statistics are available for how sexual assault numbers on the Wind River Reservation compare to the rest of Wyoming. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
Pueblo historian Dr. Joe Sando from Jemez Pueblo has passed away. The noted scholar was the author of several books and was a consultant and lecturer with a rich knowledge of New Mexico's 19 Pueblos. In 2009, as a guest on the radio show Native America Calling, he talked about the importance of indigenous people telling their own stories, saying many stories about Native people are written from a non-Native perspective.
In my writings, I have changed most of that. I have corrected much of the information that's in many books, and I find errors every time I open a book. I find error history books.
Sando added, first, it was hard for some to accept stories from the Native perspective.
At first, they didn't accept me because they thought I was changing everything. But then eventually they realized that I was telling the truth from people who experience these things.
Sando died of natural causes Tuesday in New Mexico. He was 88 years old. During this week in 1903, the Fort McDowell Reservation was established by executive order. The 40-square-mile reservation is located northeast of Phoenix. The land was formerly the ancestral territory of the once nomadic Yavapai people, who hunted and gathered food in Arizona's desert and mountains. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guests are here to talk about Saturday's day of play from 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 p.m. That is a big day of play. Sheila Fisher and Brent Fisher, thank you very much for coming down the station.
Thank you, Jeff.
Brent, you're the Parks and Rec Director, and Sheila, you are the Recreation Superintendent. Sheila, you want to tell me a little bit about how did the day of play started?
Well, last year, the Juneau Parks and Recreation Department applied to an organization called Kaboom, to be recognized as a Placeful City USA designation, and we were awarded that. And through that, we said that we would yearly offer a day of play in conjunction with Nickelodeon's Worldwide Day of Play that was started in 2004 to encourage parents and their children to get out of the house, off the couch, and just go out and play, enjoy the parks and facilities that are available across the country. So this is our second annual day of play.
And you've got a whole bunch of a day full of events planned.
Yes, we do. We from starting at 9 a.m. at the Augustus Brown Pool, there'll be two swim sessions available, one from 9 to 10, one from 10:30 and 11:30. Then the Juneau Douglas Museum will have activities from 9 to 11. The Marine Park Pavilion from 10 a.m. to noon will have sidewalk chalk. The Zach Gordon Youth Center from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. will have lunch available. The climbing wall will be open. There'll be music and other activities there. Centennial Hall from 11 to 1 will have DJ White Chocolate, the Juno Jumpers, and we on the big screen. Then the Treadwell Ice Arena will have three free skate sessions, one from 12:30 to 1:10, one from 1:30 to 2:10, and then 2:30 to 3:10. Then just up the street at Mount Jumbo Gym, from noon to 2 is preschool open gym, and then from 2 to 4 is open gym basketball activities for older children. Twin Lakes from 1 to 3 p.m. will be trail bingo. Then at Floyd Dryden Gym, we'll be having basketball from 1 to 4. And then at Diamond Park from 2 to 5, we'll have trucks and stuff. We'll have lots of construction equipment, a city transit bus, the fire truck, police car, I believe the fire department safe house, lots of different vehicles that kids can climb on and blow the horn and turn the lights on, and then we'll end the day at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center for two free sessions from 4 to 5:30 and 6 to 7:30.
Well, I can understand all those except for trail bingo. Can you educate me on that, please?
Yeah, you get it sort of like a bingo card, and it has different locations or different items that are found throughout the park, and you go to find those, and once you have a bingo across your card, then you can come back and turn it in for a small prize.
How would you advise people to take full advantage of the day, Brent?
Well, first of all, if they can show up early at the pools, that would be great. So, in other words, before our 9 o'clock session, maybe a half hour beforehand, to get their wristband for entry so they maximize the time for swimming. Same thing with the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. For our 4 o'clock, show up a half hour early, and then at the 6 p.m. swim, show up at 5:30. Show up early, be ready for a full day of play. It is a lot of fun. We've got plenty of food at lunchtime at Zach Gordon. They're going to put on a tremendous lunch for us. It's all free. So just be ready to have fun.
And you want to talk about the tickets, too, that people can pick up at each location?
Absolutely. They're going to receive... matching tickets when they arrive at each of the facilities. They're to write their name and phone number on one half and deposit it at the box that's at the facility and keep the other half. At the end of the day, around 8 o'clock or so at Diamond Park Aquatic Center, we're going to draw names for prizes. They do not have to be present to win the prizes, but they do need to turn in that other half of the ticket when we call them.
And this is all free?
All free.
That sounds like a busy day and fun day, too. Why is play important?
I'm going to let Sheila talk about the philosopher first, and then I'll answer the other.
One of my favorite quotes that I stumbled across in college was by Plato, who said that you can learn more about a person than 1 hour of play than in a year of conversation. So that's always been one of my favorite quotes.
I like that.
That's good.
I learned something new.
Yeah.
Well, but play is important. It's part about keeping your life in balance. It's healthy for your brain and healthy for your body, and also it's fun. So
if people missed any of the information about that schedule of activities that you have planned for everybody, is there a way they could find out, like online?
They can. They can go to our website at www.juno.org/parksrec. Or they can call the main office at 586-5226.
All right, Brent.
We have great prizes.
What are some of the prizes?
Well, let me just say this. We have a grand prize of a Diamond Park Aquatic Center annual family pass. We've got a one-hour ice rental at Treadwell. We've got birthday party packages, climbing wall at Zach Gordon rental, Sandy Beach shelter rental, even a Centennial Hall room, whether it's Egan, Hickel, or Hammond room. So we've got lots of prizes, even a downtown transportation center parking pass. So a lot of great prizes. Show up, have fun.
And you don't have to be a kid to take part in it.
It helps to be kid at heart.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Brent Fisher and Sheila Fisher, thank you for coming down. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Oh, just that Saudi the sea otter, our mascot, will be roaming around at different locations throughout the day. And at each location, the first 50 kids that high-five Saudi will win an extra special prize at each location. So they have the option of high-fiving Saudi at 7 different locations and getting 7 little toy prizes to take home, too.
All right, Brent and Sheila, thank you so much for coming down to the station today.
Thank Jeff. You.
And on Saturday, my word of advice is have fun.
Have fun.
Only 20 minutes for recess time. You run to the playground, stand in line. Always the same kids choose the teams. It's always the end of the same, it seems. They choose their buddies, they choose their friends. They get down to the very end. Always someone gets left out. I had enough. I'm gonna shout, I won't play, I won't play. Don't say no, cause I won't go away. I won't stop till you hear what I say. You gotta let me in, cause I won't play. Just cause you're bigger and stronger than me doesn't mean you get to say how things will be. Just cause I'm not as good as you doesn't mean you get to tell me what to do. You ought to stand here in my shoes. How it feels when it happens to you. It could happen to you, you never can tell. I had enough, I'm gonna yell. I wanna play, I wanna play. Don't say no, cause I won't go away. I won't stop till you hear what I say. You gotta let me in, cause I wanna play. Daddy says life's just not fair. You're bound to meet people that just don't share. When you meet someone, tries to push you around. When you know what's right, stand your ground. We're only talking about playing a game. Leaving someone out is such a dirty shame. We're only talking about having fun. There ought to be room for everyone. I wanna play, I wanna play. Don't say no, I won't go away. I won't stop until you hear what I say. Gotta let me in, cause I wanna.
Bill Harley, the time is 3:14, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest comes to us via the magic of the telephone from the beautiful state of Maine. Steve Phillips is going to be talking about The Road Not Taken. It's a film shown tonight at 8 o'clock on 360 North. Steve, thank you very much for being on the air with me today.
You're welcome, Jeff. How are you doing?
It's great. It's a rainy day today in Alaska. What's it like in Maine?
Actually, we've had a pretty nice day. It's one of the last days of summer here, and looks like it's going to be cooling off coming up on Friday. Getting back to a more fall-like pattern, which probably low 60s and 30s at night.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. It isn't too bad.
Steve,
making the transition.
Steve, you're a filmmaker. You want to tell us about your background, please?
I've been a still photographer and then a videographer for probably 34 years now. And worked for NBC News for 17 years. And then went into business for myself back in 1995.
Steve Phillips Productions.
That's correct.
So what made a guy from down east do a program on southeast Alaska?
Well, I had some great friends up in the Juneau area. Jim Meehan, Bill Meehan, and Sandy Meehan. In fact, Sandy Meehan was the daughter of Jim and Jane DeHart, who own DeHart's store there in Auk Bay. And they were pioneers. They arrived up in the Auk Bay area back in the 30s and established a store there at Auk Bay. And it was through Jim DeHart and his grandson Jim that I was first introduced to the Taku River, because Jim DeHart had a cabin up there.
What's special about the people who call that area home?
I think they're just, you know, rugged individualist and have a great respect and admiration for nature, and just the wonders of that the Taku River area is just an amazing place. The glaciers and the wildlife is just really incredible.
Steve Phillips, why did you pick the Taku River and Kelowna areas in particular? It can't be just because you knew somebody who was there. It must have been some of the magic of the beauty of the area.
Yeah, that was a big draw for. I started going up the Taku River in 1983, and then I continued to go up there almost every other year until, you know, we did the documentary up there. And it was just, it's a real spiritual place. It's like, it's very unique, totally different than any environment that you would experience, I think, especially in the lower 48. And it just had a lasting impression on me.
What kind of work did you do for NBC?
I was a producer, videographer, photojournalist, and editor. Did a lot of documentary work and feature work for NBC.
Now, what's your general philosophy when shooting in the wild? I'm going to divide that up between still photography and motion picture photography.
Right. A lot of it is just kind of happens. You can pretty plan to a certain degree, but a lot of things come your way that are unexpected. So you have to be prepared to anticipate those things that are unexpected so that you can capture them. It's kind of a learning experience that not necessarily you can be taught that. It's just something that you gather over the years. And you have that insight and perspective that gives you the ability to capture that, if you're lucky. A lot of it's luck, too, being in the right place at the right time.
Isn't there a lot of the waiting game involved?
Yes. Yeah, it can be. It can be. For example, when we capture the wolves, and we get up early that morning before daylight, and we're on the river, in the Taku, and we just happened to be at the right place at the right time. There was a pack of wolves that were going back after a night of hunting, and we heard a beaver slap its tail on the river, and that's a warning sign that danger is nearby. And then all of a sudden, the wolf pack showed up, and we were virtually surrounded by wolves. They were on all sides of us. It was just an incredible experience.
How often, when you're looking through the viewfinder of your film or TV camera, do you think of it that you're going to get one shot and then you zoom in on it and then you get a completely different shot?
Yeah, that can happen quite often. It's just, as I said before, there's a lot of things happen that aren't anticipated. You land things, but especially working in the wild, Mother Nature always says has its own purpose and its own way of expressing itself, and so you have to be willing to be flexible and to change your plans and adapt to those things that that come your way.
What kind of tips do you have for capturing memorable shots?
I think it's once again it's being flexible in your environment and seeing. You may go out there anticipating to see something initially, but something totally different may come your way, and you have to be flexible enough to appreciate that and capture that at the moment.
Seems like you're always on the lookout for panoramic shots, but also the close-up shots of like water dripping from an iceberg.
Right, right. That's, you know, it's something, it's an intuitive type of thing, or it's being at the right place at the right time, or just having to see that particular shot at the moment that and you capture it, and you know that's you know a great image and or a great video that will help tell the story for you.
I'm talking with Steve Phillips. He's a filmmaker. His film The Road Not Taken is going to be shown tonight on 360 North at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at also at 7 o'clock. It will repeat. Steve, why do you call it The Road Not Taken?
Well, excuse me. That was a transitional period for me. I just left NBC News. After a 17-year career there, so I was making a transition and taking a road that I hadn't traveled, being an independent filmmaker from then on, and so it was kind of an introspective look at not only myself but also of the area that I was fortunate enough to be able to film as well.
Tell me a little bit about the documentary for people who are listening on the air.
excuse me. It's really a kind of spiritual thing, which sounds kind of, you know, a little wacky maybe, but it's just a really a close-up look at people, and nature, and just the awesome beauty of the Taku River and up into the Yukon, and tracing the natural path of the Tlingit Indians and the Southern Shoshone, trade routes that they established, you know, hundreds of years ago, and those trade routes were also migration routes for the animals that they were after to survive, you know, and it was a multifaceted approach, I think, not only from the human aspect, from the animal aspect as well, both migration and trade routes. That makes it very fascinating and interesting, I think, for anybody who is interested in natural history and as well as history of man.
Steve, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's www.spphotovideo.com.
All right, Steve Phillips. This film, The Road Not Taken, is shown tonight at 360 North at 8 o'clock. Also repeats Sunday at 7 o'clock. Steve, thank you for being on the air. Anything that you'd like to add that I might have forgotten to ask?
No, I just hope that everybody in Alaska, you know, really enjoys it, and hopefully everybody can take away something memorable for them from the documentary that they feel happy with, you know.
All right, thank you, Steve.
I appreciate your time.
Road Not Taken tonight at 8 o'clock on 360 North. On and on I go, the seconds tick, the time out.
the way I wander. Through descending snow and through the frost and thunder, listen to the wind come howling, telling me I have to hurry. I listen to the robin's song, saying not to worry. So on and on I go, pick and stick my time out. So much left to know what I'm on the road to find out.
Stevens there. The time is 3:27 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Well, a couple of weeks ago I was talking to Clint Farr, who's been doing movie reviews here at the radio station for a number of months. He was going to come up with some new ones, and I invited him to come to the station along with Pat Race today to talk about citizen movie reviews, because sometimes I go to the movie rental store and a lot of times they'll just get stinkers, and I kind of want to warn people about them, but I also want to, I'm looking for the great films that are out there that we could watch.
That's right. It's rainy season, and we got to... Oh, it's more than that. It's deluge season, and we got to think
monsoon season.
It's nuts out there, and has been. And so we're thinking about how do we recommend or what are ways we can recommend movies to people? Because this, I mean, let's face it, we're going to be inside. We're going to be at the Blockbuster. We're going to be on Netflix. We're going to be looking for films.
So I asked Clint to come up, and I kind of thought this would be kind of fun because we had a lot of people calling up with bear stories.
Right.
So they could call up at 463-6425 and leave their list of favorite movies kind of in the milieu of what we're doing today.
That's
so,
right.
So listen first.
So top five. I think we're gonna keep it to five, make five recommendations.
Is it thematic?
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My theme is what I like.
That's kind of, okay.
Right. But you're not so educated about it.
Well, yeah, you know.
Well, I was thinking of taking it since it's, you know, fall and we're heading into the fall winter season. I was thinking of just doing prison movies.
Oh, that's.
But maybe I'll mix it up a little bit.
No, have at it. What do you got there, Pat?
Oh, well, my first one's Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, that's good.
I mostly went with older films that I think that either a younger crowd may have missed because they weren't born in time or. I don't live in Vorn, or that maybe people don't hear about a lot these days.
Right.
Cool Hand Luke is one that has always been one of my favorites.
I just checked that out a couple of weeks ago.
Did you just watch it?
Yeah.
It's great.
So, okay, yeah. I have other recommendations with this.
I think about this time last year I rented it and saw it for the first time.
Oh, it's a great film. Yeah. Oh, you saw it for the first time last year?
For the first time, yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful film. I was reading about it before I came here, and the thing that I found most fascinating was the story of the screenwriter.
Uh-huh.
And just to sum up really quick, at like age 15, he basically ran away from home and joined the army, and then went AWOL and then came back and then got thrown in the Huskow and then got sent to the front lines, and then his mom wrote a letter and he got out, and then he came back and now he's old enough to go to the Merchant Marines. He went overseas and he got in trouble in Italy for counterfeiting, and then he got put in a prison, and then he escaped across the border and went to Canada, came to the United States, became a safecracker and like a thief, and then he got put in a Florida chain gang, and that's basically where the movie starts, is this guy that's kind of a social misfit goes in and starts working on this mm-hmm. Florida chain gang, and it's like it's got to be the story of this guy's life.
Not a movie review, not a movie script written by a Trustafarian right out of film school.
Right.
Yeah.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
That's right. Your dirt is in Boston. Yeah.
Well, and just so iconic images, the glasses, the reflective sunglasses, and things that you see referenced again and again and again.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. I started going on a different tact here. This is probably a movie everybody's heard of, but it remains to this day one of my all-time favorite and perfect for a rainy day, and it's the first and really only Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that was, I think AFI said that was one of the best action movies ever made.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I have to agree with them. It's also the best Christmas movie ever made.
Yeah. I'll take an intellectual point on this film, and because, you know, people either love it or hate Die Hard, but if you like real actors in action films like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man or Christian Bale as Batman, I'd say the sort of the spiritual father to all of that is Bruce Willis in Die Hard, because he's a real actor, but he's playing this, like, and he's scared and half the time in this film he's freaking out because all this stuff. I mean, it's such a departure from Schwarzenegger or even like the guy who now my brain just shut down, but the previous action heroes often were like stoic, manly men, and they didn't betray emotion.
He's a little bit of an everyman, and they set up a really nice contained action movie in the whole Nakatomi Tower complex. They've, instead of running around the whole city and everything blowing up and traveling around the world, you've got a nice little bite-sized action movie, but it feels so epic.
Yeah, and certainly the single best bad guy ever, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't get around that one. That guy was awesome. What's next, man?
Okay, number two. I'm going to, this is where I decide if I'm going to do prison movies or do some of the other ones. I think I'm going to go with Variety over prison movies. Although,
I'm curious. I'm going to
know my sidestep on the prison movie recommendations. My other four would have been Papillon, Shawshank Redemption, The Great Escape, and Escape from Alcatraz. So those are, if you like that kind of thing and you get trapped in Juneau and need to break out and you're itching in your skin, prison movies.
Yeah. Is that the Clint Eastwood version of Escape from Alcatraz?
I did not know there was a Clint Eastwood version.
If I'm not mistaken, there's a Clint Eastwood version.
I'll have to look that up. Anyway, so my number two, I tried to go for some variety here. This is an animated film, Princess Mononoke. It's a lot of people have seen Spirited Away or Ponyo or Howl's Moving Castle, but I feel like some of his earlier films, like Princess Mononoke or Porco Rosso, don't get as much recognition. Mm-hmm. And people aren't as aware of them. Princess Mononoke is this great epic that takes place in like a forest, and it's got all these like demons and giant animals, and it's just beautiful. And anyone that grew up in Southeast can really really appreciate it.
Now, I think all of his stuff is in a box set right now.
Oh, is it?
That you can get? Yeah,
delicious.
Yes, yes.
Where do you find that?
Christmas Gifts, Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great. Yes, yeah. I local.
It's really awesome stuff. I'm going to go to a series of films. I'll get to the one I had as number two. But there's a group of films out there like Win-Win that recently played at the Nickelodeon, The Visitor, The Station Agent, where really good people are put into...
Right, kind of an ensemble.
Ensemble cast of where the scripts are about really good people rather than really bad people being bad. It's really about really good people trying to do their best in difficult circumstances and stuff, and it reflects more the people I know in life rather than these scripted monsters. It's like you're really just getting dropped into real people's lives. And one of my favorites was Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh,
and
I haven't seen that one.
That's a beautiful...
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah, that's a great, beautiful little film, and I really highly recommend it, as well as The Visitor and The Station Agent, Win-Win. Those three directed by a guy by the name of Thomas McCarthy, who also wrote them. And they're all... beautiful little films that when you're done with Die Hard and the explosions and just want something a little smaller, you know, those are really good.
Cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Okay, so let's see what fits in. What's my segue to that? I'm going to go with Some Like It Hot.
There you go.
That is one. I think AFI said it was one of the best comedies of all time, but I hadn't even heard of it until a few years ago.
Oh, really?
I mean, I mean, these films are so old that we didn't grow up with them, and you know, you don't hear people. You hear people talk about them maybe, but you don't know what they are or anything. But that film's got Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon. It's like this great, almost vaudevillian cross-dressing comic film. Yeah. With, I mean, it's got music, it's got everything, it's beautiful. And Marilyn Monroe is an amazing actress.
She was great.
It's like, yeah, she's incredible.
Great, it's also a good example, I think, of a well-paced film. I mean, there's not a dull moment in that. There's not. It's like Die Hard, for that matter. In that way, they're the same.
Also, it's so old the pacing that it's sort of demonstrated itself, I think, to be very timeless. Like,
yeah.
It's something that is really, really funny if you go out and rent and watch it today.
Right.
It's not funny in the context of, oh, I can see how they might have found this funny you know, 50 years ago.
Right. It's not an intellectual exercise. You will laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're listening in on June afternoon to Clint Farr and Fat Race to talk about their choice of best movies. I've got some on my own list. We're going to get to those later. But I want to know what you have on your list, and you could leave a message on my phone at 463-6425. And much like the bear stories we got a lot of, just come on to my message machine and say, hi, this is, and put your name down, and here's my favorite five movies. And you might want to elaborate a little bit, but not too much, and we'll air those on a June afternoon at some point.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about them as much as we are. What do you got on your top your list there, Jeff?
Well, this is actually a movie that got me out of Jury Duty, although I didn't intend to see it.
Is it Jury Duty? the film Jury Duty happened to get me.
Kind of like that. I got called for jury duty, and they asked me what the last movie I watched was, and it, believe it or not, it was The Runaway Jury.
Oh,
which I think is a great movie. So if you haven't seen The Runaway Jury yet, go see it. West Wing, it's not a movie, but it's a video, and I enjoyed that. Duck Soup, Death at a Funeral, the British one, and My Big Fat Greek Wedding runs on my list.
Right, right. Well, I got the TV show, and British one at that, on mine. If it's not a movie, and I know that that's a little bit off, but the original British version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, to this day remains about the funniest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it is the most cringe-inducing, hilarious stuff ever put on TV. It kills me every time I watch it.
I feel like you just opened a big door with television. There's a lot of really good series work being done, and there's a lot of... one of the ones you mentioned, the BBC, I love the new Sherlock Holmes that they've been making.
Oh, they've been...
And they are hour and a half long episodes. I mean, they're almost... You know, they're essentially feature-length films.
Right.
And they've done three so far, and there's a whole new season slated. And they're just... They're a contemporary look at Sherlock Holmes, and they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to your list, Clint?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I thought about some, like, winter-themed films, Alaska-themed films, and my favorite Alaska-themed film of all time was Spirit of the Wind, which is the story of George Atla, the sprint musher who used to race when I was a kid. I used to watch this guy in the late 70s, early 80s, kicking down Front Street in Anchorage. And so then a movie came out about him, and I was a young kid when I saw it, but I remember it to this day. Now, the problem with Spirit of the Wind and making it as a recommendation, it's not available in the U.S., which is unfortunate. But if you have a DVD that plays European format, you can get a European version of the DVD.
We should note that Juno filmmaker Joel Bennett did a lot of work on that film.
And
Louisa Stodden, too.
Spirit of the Wind, Joel Bennett?
Yeah.
1970s?
Yep.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't realize that. Thank you. I didn't know Joel was around.
Yeah, Joel's done a lot of amazing things.
Nice. That's really cool. Yeah, it's a great film. Thank you, Joel, because it was awesome. So I'm going to go with Never Cry Wolf. Which is based on a great book and has possibly the best lemming eating scene ever put to film in the history of cinema.
I never got to see that scene because my sister started crying during Never Cry Wolf and we had to leave the theater.
Man! But it's a spectacular, beautiful film.
Do we make it to your five?
No, not quite.
I got one more.
Okay, the last one for me. How are we doing on time, Jeff?
We're doing fine.
Okay, my last... recommendation. And it's you know, this isn't maybe the best film ever made, but I think it's a perfect film, kind of in a way Die Hard is. Perfect for the genre, perfect for what it was trying to do. And that's Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
With Jodie Foster.
Delicious.
Yes. Anthony Hopkins and the whole crew. And I don't have to, most of us who are in our age group know this film and know it well because it was such a, left such an indelible mark on the psyche for that year. But young people maybe haven't seen it yet and should. If you want an example
maybe not
of
too young.
Not too young. Well, yeah, early 20s. But if you want an example, if you love film and you want an example of maybe one of the most perfectly constructed movies ever made,
yeah.
Silence of the Lambs would be right up there. It is amazing. An amazing accomplishment.
Love it. All right. Well, my number four-ish is The Man Who Knew Too Little. Have you seen that? This is a film starring Bill Murray, who I love. I think he's one of the best comedians of all time,
of course,
ever in the world.
Right.
And this one, I think, is an often overlooked film. And it is just, I laugh till I cry every time I watch it. And it's so good. He plays this guy that is going to visit his brother in England. And his brother tries to sign up for this theater of life thing where they do like a mystery theater kind of event. But he sort of falls in with this whole espionage thing, and he basically is going around thinking that he's part of this real life theater thing while he's part of a huge international espionage caper, and it's beautiful. I love it. So The Man Who Knew Too Little, and then my last one is kind of going into the winter. One of the films I love to watch in the winter time is Lawrence of Arabia, because mm-hmm. it is so hot. It mm-hmm. is just, you feel the heat coming off that thing. the sun's anvil, and it's just the music is beautiful, and it's like a true epic. David Lean
mm-hmm.
also did Dr. Zhivago, I think Bridge on the River Kwai. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just a beautiful movie. If you haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia, you should absolutely see that film.
All right, thank you so much for coming by, Clint Farr and Pat Race. Come by in maybe a couple of weeks. We'll have some recorded movie picks from people who've called 463-6425, and that's 463-NICK.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of September, 2011. It was on this date in 1814, a lawyer named Francis Scott Key wrote his very famous poem, which we sing today. It was entitled Defense of Fort McHenry, which was under attack by the British, the War of 1812. The British Navy started firing on it September the 13th, there in Baltimore Harbor. They sent more than 1,500 bombs and rockets and cannonballs across the water. Francis Scott Key had been sent to negotiate the release of an American prisoner. He was on a British boat behind the lines during the battle. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, the British stopped firing, but it was still dark, and Francis Scott Key could not see if the flag was still flying until the sun came up, and he saw it. He wrote down some ideas for a poem, and later that day, after he was released, he wrote the poem in a room at the Indian Queen Hotel. And it was very popular almost right away and was sung to a drinking song to Anacreon in heaven, the tune that we sing it to today. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? The flag was 30 by 42 feet. The stripes were 2 feet wide, made of English wool bunting, and it is now in the Smithsonian Institution. It's the birthday of the science fiction and fantasy author Justin Richards, born in Essex, England, 1961, a software designer for IBM, who wrote a crime series for kids called The Invisible Detective, and a series of mysteries set in Victorian London called Department of Unclassified Artifacts. And it's the birthday of Zach Hampel, 1977, a sports writer whose books include How to Snag Major League Baseballs. As of July last summer, Zach Hampel had collected almost 5,300 baseballs at major league ballparks, most of them at batting practice. Here's a poem for today by Norbert Kropf, entitled Uncle. After his wife of a lifetime died of cancer, he sat alone at night in the farmhouse, listening to the Grand Ole Opry, Pulse, on the radio, reading the Daily Local line by line, front to back, and puffing his face with popcorn that raised the lid off the iron pot, squatting on blue flame on the stove. Sometimes when winds stopped scraping dried catalpa leaves in the barnyard, he would whisper one name to dull walls, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. Daughters-in-law sent pots of soup with the sons who careened down the rock road in pickups to milk the herd of bawling cows. Case tractors, wheeled by sons and grandsons, cut O's and X's in the mud between granary and silo as coonhounds dozed beneath the walnut. When a woman from the other side of the county whose husband had died became his late bride and moved into the farmhouse where my mother had slept as a girl, squinting through cracks in the roof at snowflakes and starlight, frowns caked the faces of my cousins. There was one name they would not voice on the farm they felt was theirs. Margaret. Margaret. A poem by Norbert Kropf, Uncle, from his collection Somewhere in Southern Indiana, Poems of Midwestern Origins, published by Time Being Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:47. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. You're in local football news. Juneau Douglas High School versus Thunder Mountain High School Junior Varsity game is happening at Thunder Mountain High School Field this Friday at 5 o'clock. Also, the Bears versus Notre Dame British Columbia Varsity football game is happening this Saturday, September 17th at 8 o'clock. They say it's country night. They should suggest you throw on your Western wear and come on down to Whoop and Holler for the Bears while you enjoy some great down-home country fun. Entertainment, games, and prizes are available. And that's Thunder Mountain High School and Juneau Douglas High School football coming on this weekend. In studio with me now is Cheryl Levitt here to talk about another thing coming up this weekend, the Festival of Seafood. Cheryl, thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff. So I was trying to think back when the Festival of Seafood started, and I've been here for 14 years, and it was already a K2 tradition at that point. Do you remember, Jeff, when this event started?
Not exactly, but back then we called it the halibut feed because it was dependent on when the halibut opening was.
Okay, well, Taku Fisheries has been involved with it for all that many years, and they have teamed up with us again to offer another great event for Saturday night. It's the K3 Taku Fisheries Festival of Seafood, and we're launching it this year again with a tutored beer tasting starting at 4 o'clock with the Alaska Brewing Company. They'll have all of their beers down there for sampling and their very knowledgeable staff down there to tell us about their beers. So that's at 4 o'clock, and it's $10 to go to the beer tasting. At 5 o'clock until 7:30 is the all-you-can-eat seafood feed, and it includes halibut and salmon as well as salads. This year's Abby's Kitchen is teaming up with us to do all of the salads, so that's really great. And Silver Bow Bakery is teaming up to do the bread and the amazing oatmeal stout cake that they've done for many years with us. And also Northern Kita has donated caviar. And we have music following the feed. Well, starting at about 7 o'clock until 9, we have Sean Tracy and Ari Rome are going to be playing tunes, and we'll pull back the tables for some dancing. So I think it's going to be a really great night. Tickets for the feed itself are $25, and kids under 12 can eat for $10. And if you have a lap infant, then they don't need to pay to come in. They can just come and join.
Quick note about that beer tasting. It's a tutored beer tasting, and it's really educational for a lot of people who have attended. And it's always been a full house, too, which is great.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I always find is that the more I know about the product, the more I appreciate it. So it's really interesting to learn about the things that they think about when they're creating their beers and how they blend the hops with the molasses and other flavors like spruce tip needles or various honeys to make the different flavors. So it is really, it's really fun. It's great. It's a great fall tradition.
And they're, I think, 25 years old this year.
That's right. It's a big year for them, and we love partnering with them as well. It really, a number of great organizations come together to work with us to make this event happen, and it's always a super, super, super fun time. So we encourage you to come on down. You can get tickets in advance online. Just go to any one of our websites, ktoo.org or k2news.org, and you'll see a link to buy tickets online, or you can just buy them at the door. It's fine. So again, $10 for the beer tasting, $25 for the Seafood Fest, and the music is free.
All right, Chair Levitt, thank you for coming down to the station and talking about the Festival of Seafood this Saturday starting at 5 o'clock.
4 o'clock for the beer tasting.
That's right, thanks.
All right, thanks, and we look forward to seeing you there.
We have next some music from Tracy Springer, who's going to be performing at the Rookery on the 30th of the month here at the Rookery, and that starts at 7:30. I'll get a little preview of her music now. Tracy Spring from a brand new CD, Looking Forward, Looking Back. Time is 3:54, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Tracy Spring will be appearing live at the Rookery. It's on November 30th or September 30th September 30th at 7:30 in the afternoon.
Support for programming on this station is provided by Jesse Keel, candidate for Juneau Assembly District 1, paid for by Keel for Assembly, Harvey Marvin and Margaret Pugh co-chairs, 535 Harris Street, Juneau.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Culture, science, and integrity.
I am Spirit of Youth.
I am Spirit of Youth.
Here's my story.
Here are stories.
We're hearing a little bit from the movie On the Ice.
The short film by Inupiaq filmmaker Andrew Akpiaha McLean is an engrossing and suspenseful story of two teenagers who try to cover up an awful incident that happens when they're out hunting. The film was shot in Barrow and drew from local talent. High school student and On the Ice principal actor Josiah Pakatak says the film does a good job showing what life is like on the North Slope and informs people about the Alaska Native culture there.
Well, I don't want to give away the whole movie, but, you know, there's some parts in there where it refers to the negatives of some of our village lives. And it's reality, you know, there are people who do drugs, there are people who abuse alcohol, you know, there's people who abuse each other even. And it tells that, and that's why I think people will, they'll be shocked, but most people I think will give applause to Andrew because he wasn't scared to tell the negative. If you look at the whole movie in a whole, you know, it's a positive movie. It tells a good story of what someone my age right now is growing up in.
On the Ice is an official 2011 selection of the Sundance Film Festival. Josiah, along with other cast and crew, traveled to Park City, Utah for this year's event. He says he got a lot of positive feedback for his performance, as well as some leads for more acting work.
I got whaling, you know, I got hunting, I'm trying to learn all I can about my culture, and that's like a down the road quite a while, making movies.
I am Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan. I give back.
Do you see me?
Recognize youth, ages 12 to 19, at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Association of Alaska School Boards.
Time is 3:58 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. But before all things considered, KTOO is broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO is also broadcast on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarasuna at 91.9. An excursion inlet and Icy Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9, and in Juneau you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871, or also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon we'll find out about Friday's Recovery Poetry Jam at the Canvas. We'll also talk improv with guest Eric Caldwell and visiting creativity teacher Michael Robinson. Also J.P. Vargas and Ari Rome will be giving us a musical preview of their performances at the Alaskan this weekend, and Nancy DeCherney will be here with news and views about local art during Arts Up. It's tomorrow at 3 here on KTOO News. With the forecast for tonight, showers diminishing overnight with areas of fog, low temperatures around 46 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with areas of fog in the morning with a slight chance of rain and high temperatures around 53 degrees. Forecast for Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain and a chance of rain expected on Friday. This is from Sharon Isbin's brand new album that just came to the station a couple of days ago. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today. Have a good evening.
Solyndra just one bad bet by an administration rushing to claim credit for the first loan guarantee? Or is it the tip of the iceberg?
Questions about a solar panel maker that got federal loan guarantees, then went bankrupt.
For Wednesday, September 14th, it's All Things Considered.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Republicans say the Obama administration was too cozy with Solyndra and pushed through the loan without proper vetting.
We'll take stock of the U.S. solar industry and the challenges it faces from China.
Also, questions about racial bias in a death penalty case in Texas.
And this year's shortened list of Grammy categories leads to complaints and a lawsuit.
Latin jazz is not a cousin of jazz, a small sibling, a redheaded stepchild. You know,